Well, thank you to Phil and team for leading us tonight. And really good to be standing in the pulpit tonight and have something burning in my heart to share with you. And especially had in mind this evening many of you who are younger and you have your whole lives, many years ahead, God willing, in the unfolding and the course of decades ahead. So let me pray, and then I'm going to read a verse, and then I'm going to challenge you. That's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to challenge you about what you will do with the gospel. And so, Father, we pray tonight that your word would burn in our hearts. Just thinking of the Apostle Paul, who said that the love of Christ constrained him. May that be true for each of us, that you would really move us, Lord, in a direction of service, and even as we've sung the song tonight, I'm sure with good intention, arms high and hearts abandoned. May that be true. May that be so, Lord, for us each and every day of our lives, all that unfolds before us, every opportunity we get, to the glory of your name we pray. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul gives to the church at Corinth a summary of the gospel. And I want to read those few verses just as I begin. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the third verse. He says this to them, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." So he gives them what he himself had got. And so he elaborates that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So there is a summary of the gospel. And the question I want to ask you tonight, what are you going to do? What are you doing with that gospel that has been delivered to you, that you have received, that you believe, many of you believe? What are you planning to do over the years or in the years to come that will make a difference in the world? Will you dare to dream? I want to speak about dreaming tonight. Will you dare to dream? Will you dare to dream something big? Something that you can do, that we can do together for God with this gospel, with this good news that he's given us, and in fact to share to the ends of the world. Now, down through the ages, men and women have dreamed dreams. They've had dreams put in their hearts to serve the purposes of God. In fact, you may not know this, but just thinking about it, I'm sure you will agree, the fact that you sit here tonight is as a result of those who have gone before us, men and women who dreamed a dream. Let me tell you a little bit about the Central Baptist Church. I thought it would be a good idea for me to let you know something of our history, something of our past, and why it is we're able to sit here tonight and listen, be involved in ministry. Men and women who dreamed 129 years ago. Isn't that amazing? God put something in their hearts because of this gospel burning in their hearts. He put something in their hearts to establish a little local church. Now, if you've ever been down the passage where our offices are, and you look on the wall, you will find a document. It's a document that is the original founding document of the Central Baptist Church. The document was written in 1891. It was only found in 1983. Lots of time elapsed between. It had in fact been buried in a metal box under the foundation stone of the first church building, which in fact existed way down in Andre Street, or I'm not sure what it's called today, but at Paul Kruger Square. And I share something of that document in this introduction. The document has as its heading, "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Amen." And then a statement. "Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from henceforth and forevermore." Then they go on, and on this document, and it's written in nice calligraphy, beautiful handwriting, something of the beginnings of this work. In the year and month of May 1889, initial steps were taken for the formation of a Free Baptist Congregation Church formed on union principles. Now, I don't even know if you know what that means. The work was begun by the Reverend Cousins, present pastor. His efforts were succeeded by those of Reverend Brotherton, who acted as pastor for about 3 months, after which, again, the work was resumed by Reverend Cousins, who succeeded in forming a church committee determined to establish a guarantee fund for the permanent carrying on of the work. You get something of the sense of these men and women who had this dream put in their hearts. The service to date, they say, have been conducted up to date, March 1891, in the Good Templars Hall in Vermeulen Street, that's in town. And the attendance has warranted the resolution ultimately adopted of erecting this permanent building. That's why you're here. That's what happened so many years ago. They speak of a church that they established with vitality and vigor in sterling Christian work. And the original involvement in ministry was the following: the organization of a first-class choir, ladies' weekly Dorcas meetings. I think that was a kind of a mercy ministry. A flourishing and hopeful Sabbath school, Sunday school we would call it today, or Kingdom Kids. A lending library and a band of hope, which gives every indication of future success. Now that's the document. Right at the end of the document, a list of names, a closing comment that's a prayer. This is the prayer: "May the God of all grace bless and prosper this work commenced in His name and done for His glory." Now my point tonight, I want you to think about 127 years ago, a group of believers had a vision to establish a God-glorifying church in the city of Pretoria. And I think for me what is significant is that the intention was couched in a clear understanding that this would only happen with the help of God. Now that's history. It's behind us. A group of people had a vision. They stuck their necks out. They started a church. And I know what you're thinking: so what? Well, I want to answer that question. So what? I believe that there's some questions, some good questions we can ask about what they did and what transpired in the years that followed that would help us in the work that we do. You see, by ignoring the past, we can so easily miss some helpful inspiration for what we are busy doing and should be busy doing in 2018. So number one, the first question I want to ask tonight is, were there any difficulties in realizing a vision? Well, the first 3 years were terrible. It is reported that the fledgling church went backwards, didn't grow. A new pastor arrived and he started preaching and he suddenly left. The problems are not specifically identified in the records, but the Minute Book a few years later says this: "After 3 months of labor among us, during which time from various causes, the congregations gradually grew smaller. The pastor felt it his duty to sever connections with us, and his abrupt departure from our midst tended very materially to accelerate the downward movement." Now you get it? Starting a church, having a dream, all these intentions, all these dreams, these hopes, and it goes backwards. It goes downwards. Shortages of money troubled this newly established church for many, many years. One of the previous leaders in this church wrote a little booklet called The Story of the Central Baptist Church, and he writes of those early years, and let me quote him. He says, "Unfortunately for those people, zeal exceeded financial discretion." Lots of us are guilty of that. Times were hard. The community unsettled. There was a general economic and political uncertainty. Early in 1892, a bond of £1,800 for 1 year, 10% interest had to be arranged. The congregation could not support a pastor. Cousins resigned in May 1892. Now, if you know your history, something happened in Pretoria, South Africa, round about that period called the Boer War. That's how far back this church goes. Their woes deepened during this period. 12 troubled years followed. The financial burden was more than the small church could carry. Several years of political upheaval culminating in the Boer War seriously affected the congregation. No less than 7 pastors were involved in the work in a little more than a decade. One after the other came and went. Desperation. The trustees asked the Baptist Union. That's a body that many Baptist churches belong to. It's kind of a denominational organization. Well, they asked them to take over the liabilities, the debt of the church, and to send a suitable minister to help. And the matter was put to the Baptist Union Assembly in Cape Town, and it was resolved to send the Reverend Batts. And to quote his mandate, to untangle the finances, which he did with skill, energy, and tact. But sadly, Reverend Batts went to England on holiday. And while he was away, there was a regrettable dissension in the church regarding what they said was his suitability for the Pretoria pastorate. And so some members objected to what they termed his friendship with the world. So Reverend Batts was forced to resign in 1901. Next minister came. Criticism from some members about the next pastor's extra church activities. They didn't like what he was doing outside of church life. And that led to his resignation, and he was a very gifted pastor, went on to do great things down in the Natal area, G.W. Cross. I'll get to the end of this history now. And then in 1923, the diaconate and the pastor disagreed about the calling of an additional assistant. And the reason for the assistant was to help with the planting of the Hatfield Baptist Church down the road. The pastor felt he could manage both works, provided that his stipend, that is his salary, was increased because he was about to be married. The minutes record. Accord could not be reached in this matter, and so Davies resigned. Now, I'll just try to give you a little bit of a taste. A group of people have a dream. All sorts of things begin to unfold in those early years. And the question I'm asking, of course, you know, was it worth it? These difficulties, worthy difficulties, so much more that unfolded even in the years after that. And the point I want to show you tonight, it was not easy. It was not plain sailing. It was not all glory. And immediately when I prepared this message, my thoughts went to Nehemiah. Remember the Old Testament book of Nehemiah and the building of the wall around Jerusalem. He also had a burden. He had a deep sense of burden on his heart to rid the city of God, Jerusalem, of the shame and the trouble of being in disrepair. And so in response to that which God had put in his heart, he stuck his neck out. He dreamed a dream to rebuild the wall around the city. And so he goes with much effort and prayer and dependence on God, fully aware that without God, nothing will be accomplished. And opposition gets in his way. Difficulties abounded. Nehemiah found trouble from a gentleman by the name of Sanballat and another man by the name of Tobiah, and in fact another one, Geshem, the Arab. Nehemiah chapter 4, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? And so he went on to sort of criticize them and undermine the work that they were doing. Will they revive these stones out of heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? It was not easy for Nehemiah, not easy for the Jews. My point is, not easy in their effort to realize their dream. And so for these early pioneers and visionaries of Central Baptist, it was not without hardship, not without difficulty. And in as much as I'm challenging you tonight, if God is putting a burden in your heart, and I pray that He is putting a burden in your heart, the way forward will not be easy. There will be difficulties. There will be hardships. There will be bends in the road, many bends in the road in the course of doing God's work. Which leads me to my second question then is, was it worth it? Was it worth the effort and the difficulties and the bends in the road? I received an email from a lady that attended this church some years ago, and the years have unfolded, and I don't know what happened, but one day she must have got just a bee in a bonnet, and she thought she'd just write back to Central Baptist Church. And this is the letter I got. Dear Central Baptist Church, I never got to say thank you, but during my university years at Tuckies, many of you, university years at Tuckies, I attended the Central Baptist's wonderful youth group. Your youth was a wonderful inspiration to me during my university season. I was raised a Christian, but I remember one Sunday night in the balcony, an altar call when I committed to the call of God to ministry. God put a dream in her heart. Today, I, with my husband, pastor a church in Hawaii. Our church is called the Christian Family Church. Thank you to your youth for being my friends and a support at a time where I very much needed encouragement. And then she goes on to talk about the particular pastor at that time, Pastor Peter, and the work that he and his wife did. Blessings to your team. And my point is that, yes, there are difficulties, but at the same time, there is fruit. There are results. There are good results. Even in Nehemiah's day, in the face of opposition and difficulty, Nehemiah reports ultimately the realization of a dream. Chapter 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. God did an amazing thing. God brought about the realization of the vision. Well, what about Central Baptist Church? What about the early pioneers at this Free Baptist Church in the center of the city? What about the dreams that came from the dreams, from the original dreams? 127 years of people with vision and dreaming and intention to serve God with the gospel, going all the way back to 1891. Folk, it's amazing what God has done through that original little group of people. I don't know all the history. I've only been here 19 years. I've dug around a little bit in the minutes. I have some experience of watching and seeing what God is doing. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight into that. But I'm amazed. I want to stand back, and I want you to be able to see this tonight. Stand back and give thanks to God for so much that has been accomplished in the realization of that first dream and all the dreams that followed subsequently. Was it worth it? Of course it was worth it. From the Templars Hall where they first started, it went to the ABC Bioscope. Don't even know where that is. That's where they met. From the ABC Bioscope to Andrew Street. Then to Beatrix Street. And then Beatrix Street got too small and they built another building next door to Beatrix Street. From Beatrix Street it came to Francis Bart Street. From Francis Bart Street we're here, but we planted a Swavelpoort campus. That's just the movement of this little local church continuing to move forward in dependence on God. I try to think just off the top of my head, members of this church that have gone out into full-time pastoral ministry in the years that I can remember. Steve and Tonya Dodge. They were a young couple when I first arrived here. Steve was studying his theology at UNISA, and I wrote Steve off. How can anything good come from the faculty of theology at UNISA? But I got to know Steve. Got to know that he was able to respond to all the stuff he was being taught, and he had solid convictions. And in fact, Steve and Tonya are now serving in the church that Carol and I served in Pietermaritzburg, doing a great job. They were members, they were young people in this church. John Besson, some of you will know him, pastors a church down in Cape Town, Meadow Ridge, from the Central Baptist Church. His brother comes here in the mornings and sits somewhere in the back there still. Great things accomplished through his life. John Thomas. He was the son of one of the previous pastors of this church. He's just recently retired. Amazing, amazing work done through John down in the Fishhook area in Cape Town. The establishment of some social work in some of the informal settlements down in Cape Town as well. In fact, my own father-in-law, my wife's dad, was a little boy that was taught here in the Central Baptist Church way back in, must have been 1950s or something, I'm not sure. Blanche Dennison, Gareth and Michelle Simpson, Onay Mohatla, just more recently, coming through our ranks, campus outreach. Now he pastors a church called Rooted. Sibusiso Mushlatwa, pastoring a church just about to be established in Mamelodi. Doug Marshall, serving in the migrant workers on the Greek island of Malta. These are just people that have come through the Central Baptist Church that I can think of. Has it been worth it? Of course it's been worth it. What about missionaries? I'm probably going to miss some. But again, just those that I remember, the course of my time in this church. Darren van Rensburg, Lauren McGill, Andrew Murray, the Labaskachnis, Thelma Mitford-Barberton, Fred and Suki Wools, the Ansells. They were missionaries in White River. Maybe you don't know that for many, many years. The Oosterhases, Quinton Saunders and Leander, Henk Crawford, Offensie and Mush Pitt, A.G. and Avon Maiden, Warren Smith. Do you see the fruit? The realization of a little struggling church, a few people getting together saying, we want to serve God. And they didn't pack up when things got difficult. They stuck at it. You know how many churches have been established from the Central Baptist Church of Pretoria, just in the city? Let me name some of them. The Hatfield Community Church was first a little church down in South Street in Hatfield. Was planted by a group of people that left Central Baptist Church. Calvary used to be the Moorogloed Baptist Church in the Moort, planted by Central Baptist Church. Linwood Baptist Church out in the east of Pretoria. Group of members living in the area decided they'd get together and dream a dream for the eastern suburbs of Pretoria. Established the church. I remember some of the brothers, Dr. Parnell and Roy Fredrickson, dreaming dreams about what they called the Praetorian Districts area. Churches planted out in Sosh and Guve. Not one church, but many churches. Letlebile Baptist Church in Stinkwater. The Eastside Community Church. It was planted on the same day that Carol and I started at this church. They planted the Eastside Community Church. We've had some failures. For years we tried to plant what we called the City Baptist Church. Flopped. We're struggling at the moment trying to plant the Laudium Baptist Church. Since the 80s, amazing things have been done in community. Through this church and the members of this church, there's been the establishment of a welfare association actively taking care of nearly 350 elderly people today. In the city. Looking after people from being healthy right through to people who suffer with Alzheimer's. We're looking to reach the homeless and the destitute people in our area. Started a ministry called the Mercy Ministry where food is being provided, clothes are being given, and the gospel is being taught. And Freddie, who serves in that ministry and those with him, my wife has told me stories of men, women who come here destitute, but are helped either to get their documentation in order, help to get some kind of employment, but above and beyond all of that, coming to know Jesus as their Savior. In recent years, we've seen the growth of student ministry. You may not know this, but 15 years ago, I was ready to close this evening service. There were so few people coming on a Sunday night. We wanted to close the service. And then God did something. Some of the elders stopped me. Said, what are you called to do? To count the people or to preach the word? Just be faithful. Just be faithful. And God brought campus outreach. Just in that season. And the young people, the student ministry has developed over the years. And did you know that today, Tim Bird and his wife, Naya, flew to Lusaka to explore the establishment of a campus outreach branch at the university in Lusaka. Isn't that great? The result of a few people in 91, building, growing, developing. Let's not forget Bethesda and our partnership with orphan ministry. Orphans being taken care of. Members of our church involved. Hosting missionaries from overseas. Many, many lay people. People who are involved in business. Serving in the city. Doing their secular jobs. But serving the cause of Christ faithfully and zealously. All for the name of Jesus. Was it worth it? Of course it's worth it. Now you see, I want you to dream. Young people, dream about God's kingdom. Dream about what God can accomplish through you. Dream what God can accomplish through a little church. It doesn't have to be a big church. It can be a small group of people, a small group of students who decide, you know, I'm graduating. We are graduating. Let's go into an area and start a church. Let's dream a dream for the sake of the kingdom. It does mean you've got to step out in faith. It does mean that you've got to take certain risks. Spread the gospel. To do great things for God. And so thirdly tonight, I think it's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. I found a description of the life cycle of an institution. But I want to apply it to a church. I know a church is not a static institution. It's an organization. But this statement applies. And I listen to it as I read it. And I'll stop here and there and I'll make a comment. From a man to a movement to a machine to a monument. That's normally the life cycle of an institution. And sadly, sometimes the life cycle of a church. Organizations are more likely to be dynamic and healthy when they are new. The second and subsequent generation may not carry the founding dream. They may settle for oiling the machine and maintaining the monument. Now, folks, we're all second and third. In fact, we probably 12th and 13th generation. And so, if we're going to go forward in Christian ministry successfully, we have to keep dreaming. We have to keep dreaming for that first generation energy and vitality and commitment and resolve. We don't want to settle for oiling the machine. Is that what God calls us to do? You know, collect enough tithes and offerings so we can fix the blinds that are falling down? That's oiling the machine. Or polishing, you know, we've got a foundation stone outside. I don't know if you've noticed the foundation stone laid by President Paul Kruger. How's that for context? It's meaningless. Ugh, it's nice to have that as part of the history. We got to dream again. There's every reason, of course, for us to thank God for those that have gone before us. But you got to dream. I've got to be dreaming. Got to be burdened. Got to be excited. What is it that God can do through me? What is it that God can do through us? What can a group of us do? Maybe a group of students want to go off and be involved in a mission somewhere. I know Warren has caught the vision with Afensi and Marsh, and they want to get involved in Tanzania. They want to change the climate of the country. They're dreaming that Muslim people will come to faith in Christ, and they're creating a movement. Warren is going to join them. Isn't that part of it? It's a dream. Doing so must be done under God, must be done for the glory of God, and must be done in dependence on God. What is it that God may be putting in our hearts, in your hearts, my heart? Is it to plant another church? Is it to plant another campus in the city? Is it to plant something in another city? Is it maybe to reposition ourselves to better fit the Arcadia area? Is it to step up the intensity of student work at the on the Tux campus? I know some people are talking about an orphan home in town. Bethesda is 50 kilometers away. How about somebody donating money for a house? Let's start an orphanage. The kids in the city. Do it in the name of the Lord and for the Lord, and let's raise the kids with the gospel. Is it going to be to send more young men and women to the ends of the earth to do missions? Is it to develop Arcadia? Is it to develop the Hill Campus? Are there greater levels of cooperation, or is the dream maybe to separate? Is it to develop maybe a church-based theological training? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is that we ought to be doing right now. But I do know we cannot and must not, and young people, I'm speaking to young people because young people have the energy. Young people have young people are prepared to take risks. Not to maintain the machine. Oh, we must look after the buildings, I know that. We don't want to reminisce just about the good old days, you know, the good old days. The Monkey Club days, they were fantastic. But they're gone. Aren't they gone, Mac? Max, we want to see a new move of God today, 2018, 2019. What is God going to do amongst the students and the teenagers and the people of the city? You see, there's a danger that by default we do nothing. By default we just come on a Sunday. We leave. And maybe next week we'll try somewhere else a little bit. And then perhaps we'll try somewhere else a little bit. No, the challenge tonight is settle somewhere in a local church and get involved, be involved in a dream. Planning and investing, stepping out in faith, moved by the love of Christ that constrains. The challenge, folk, many generations to come until Jesus returns. Will we have the courage to stick our necks out and be part of taking another risk for the sake of the kingdom? Will we dare to dream? But always remembering, I love the statement in that original founding statement, and with this I close. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Blessed be the name of the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would inspire us by your Spirit and in the cause of gospel ministry. Pray for young people here tonight especially, that you would stir in their hearts the importance of not wasting their lives chasing the wind. But may you, Lord, use each one significantly, meaningfully, in a way that would have an eternal impact, not only for them, but for others in this city, but even to the ends of the earth. Stir, we pray, in our hearts by your Spirit to do great things for a God, our God, who is worthy of all things. Amen. Amen. Amen.